Welcome back. This week to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. I am one of your hosts, Frank Horvath. Joined with me in studio is Mr. Tim Kelly, the famous. Tim, how are you doing on this absolutely fine day?
Fantabulous.
Fantabulous. That is the word of the day. Fantabulous. There we go. All right. We have some awesome things to talk about today. We got some, like, awesome events that are coming up in next month in April. Conferences. We've been fortunate enough to be asked to come and present at a handful of different conferences. So there's some fun things that go along with that, not only as a student but also as as an instructor. So we're going to share a little bit of our end with you guys. We're going to maybe introduce you to some things that are out there that where you can come and talk. So next one, the very first conference that we have coming up, Tim, is the Tactical Conference, also known as TACCON. That is down in Texas in 27 days, 17 hours, 58 minutes, and 43 seconds as of this very moment. And it's counting down, like I said, great event. So tell me about it, Tim.
TACCON's a blast, man. That's going down April 5th, 6th, and 7th. We'll be down in Texas teaching down there. So TACCON's put on by Rangemaster. Tom Givens organized this a long time ago. And I think they're on their, what is this, like the 26th year or something like that? They've been doing this for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But it's an awesome event. And for most of you that are listening and watching, many of you probably have no idea that this type of thing exists, right? When I first started down the training route, right, the civilian side at least, I didn't know that organizations like this existed. I didn't know you could go and do these conferences and stuff. And I'd heard about it probably about 3 or 4 years into my training journey. And there was just a ton of hype around it. Mm-hmm. And man, our first time down there, it lived up to the hype. It was excellent. So Tactical Conference, the whole point of it, the reason why Tom put this together is to organize an event where, folks should come in and dip their toes in the water with a number of national stage instructors, people that are teaching all over the country. You don't often get an opportunity to train with.
Right.
And you get an opportunity to kind of sample their classes and their curriculum, their methodology, and get an idea of whether or not you want to spend that money and go and travel to another state or whatever and take a class from them. And it is such an awesome time. The one thing I love about Tactical Conference is it sounds, I don't know, it's to me the term Tactical Conference is a little bit misleading.
It's 100%.
It's when you picture that, I picture a bunch of dudes in like military gear.
Full kit.
Yeah.
Just like, hanging out, like, all tactical.
No, got their camis on and stuff like that.
That is not this in any way, shape, or form.
No, not a chance.
There are dudes down there in kilts.
Yeah.
We got dudes in just regular everyday attire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
some folks in suits.
In suits, So, I mean, it's you got the gambit. But the thing is, it's all different walks of life. You have people who are brand new into, handguns. You have people that are into self-defense, I should say, not handguns. And you got the other folks who are, trainers. I've been in a minute. Some of them have been here longer than Earth, almost, it seems like, right? just a wealth of knowledge, a well of knowledge, just everywhere you can go. And here's a cool thing that here's a piece that I really enjoy about it. It's not all shooting stuff.
Right.
Right? There are just a ton of classes that you can, or workshops that you can just go in, seminars, lectures that you can just go and sit in, and it's just books and books and books of knowledge. I'm not going in and participating in any active shooting courses this year.
Yeah, me either.
I'm just going just for the the classes. Like I'm probably going to go and observe some of the live fire classes. But as far as like the actual like seminars, that's where the gold is.
Right.
There's just so much information in those seminars that I take home and I just run wild with. I really enjoy.
Right. So this this takes place in Dallas, Texas, at Dallas Pistol Club every year. And if you're interested in looking into this and signing up or registering, you're going to have to get on it quick as soon as it launches.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, there's a high probability you're going to miss out.
Yeah, it was
so make your decision prior to and be ready to hit buy because everybody's waiting in line to get a ticket.
It sold out really quick this past year. I want to say it was like just a couple of days or something. Or
no,
a week or something
it,
like
it
that,
was
or
a record. It was like 13 hours 13 or something
hours?
Like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it ripped through. I mean, it was super fast. And I know, like I said, in years past, like you have to be ready. As soon as, because there's only a handful of seats. I want to say like, 300 or something like that seats?
Yeah, I think it's 350 or something. 350 seats. And they're kind of, they're limited to how many people they can have there, not because they can't sustain the numbers of people, but they can't sustain the number of cars that are parking there. There's a huge parking issue. Yep. So, you know, you're limited on parking, therefore you're limited on the number of people that you could bring.
Right.
So I know they've been working for the last several years or the last couple of years that they've been doing it at Dallas Pistol Club. They've been working on ways to try and remedy that and open up new seats. But I don't know, we'll see. Maybe they come up with a few extra open spots next year or something like that. But I guarantee it'll fill up. I guarantee it fills up every year. It's just such a great time. And, you know, and we're talking about people from all walks of life. Man, especially the ones that have been there and they've been, you know, going to every conference, you know, been going to the conference over and over and over again. Guys like Tim Reedy, you know, Tiffany Johnson and Akil Kadir, that, you know, they help run it. And, you know, several of the others, all the staff there, they're all just so great. They're so welcoming.
Yep.
They will literally give the shirt off of their back to help you out, show you around. You know, if you need equipment, if you need something, maybe you left something at home or something like that.
God forbid you let somebody know that you need to use a gun.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, be careful. But I mean, if you needed something, all you've got to do is ask somebody, one of the staff members there or someone in passing.
Right.
You know, everybody's itching to help you out and point you in the right direction. It's such a great time.
And the other thing is, you know, like I said, it's not all about, you know, shooting. It doesn't necessarily all have to do with guns. There's medical classes. Craig Douglas does just a phenomenal, you know, like a workshop. There's just so much there that you can really dive into just self-defense in general,
right?
Or, you know, responsibly armed citizen, you know, yeah, things, right? Mm-hmm. You know, med, comms, you know, the
laws.
I mean, Andrew Branca, there's just so much good information. Masada Ayoub, yep. There's just so much good information that's there that it's like drinking from a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
Like it literally is. So you'll have to sit there and you know, you take all the notes that you can, and then you go home and you research the notes that you took so that you can get more information. It's such a great conference. Just so much information. This year is a little tricky. This year, you know, the booking and everything, there's a solar eclipse that's happening the Monday following the conference.
Of course.
And that has caused absolute chaos. You know, everything's, you know, double rate, triple rate as far as lodging. But the parking and just everything's going to be an absolute madhouse this year. So we get to look forward to that. So we're talking about, welcome to the Responsible Citizen Show. We're talking about all things conference-y. It seems like this thing. And we're going to continue talking about that. Next big conference aside from after TACOG conference is the Girl in the Gun conference.
Right.
All right. So that's coming up towards the end of April. Let's dive into that a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, the Girl in Gun program. There's some just phenomenal you know, presenters that end up going there. Apache Solutions is also going out there with four guys?
Yep.
Four instructors.
Yep.
Fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back from break.
Cool.
And welcome back to Responsibly Armed Citizen Show, where we talk about all things responsibly armed citizens should know. We've been talking about conferences, right? So Tactical Conference, namely, was the first one we were going to discuss. Again, that's happening coming up first weekend in April. A little bit more information on that, if you guys want to check it out, that's going to be tacon.info, so TACCON.info. go take a look. There's a lot of really good information out there. And stay tuned. If you want to get in on this conference, again, that's down in Dallas, Texas, then you're really going to want to stay tuned on that so that you can grab those tickets as soon as they come on sale. Like I said, they sell out quick. Like I said, Tim had said, you know, this past year is like 13 hours or something, you know, right. Years past, it was, you know, like, you know, they're sold out within a couple of days. I mean, they're just, they go so quickly. And it's just such a phenomenal event. It really shouldn't be something that you miss. Hey, let us know if you're in our area and you're wanting to go down to TechCon. There may be possibility you can, you know, split some costs and yeah, you know, travel or room with us, roll with us, and we'll have a good time. So, we teased a little bit this, the last, segment, Girl and a Gun, the AGAG, conference. Tim, tell me all about it.
Okay. So, we've been presenting out there for the last 2 years. This will be our third year at the conference. And when you put it side by side to TACCON, it dwarfs TACCON in terms of numbers.
Right.
Like there is just an absurd amount of people there. It's huge. And it's in a magnificent training facility out in Palisade, Colorado.
Yeah.
So on the other side of the mountains, when you fly into Denver, and it's breathtaking, man. It is such an awesome experience. Now, sorry guys, but only girls are allowed to attend this conference.
Ladies
unless
only.
Unless you want to go out there and like help, you can go out there. They always take volunteers to, you know, to work the range and stuff like that. And that's pretty cool. They run targetry to different bays and stuff. But I mean, you're right up there against these great big mountains and everything. I don't know how many actual bays, training bays they have. But mm-hmm. If you want to check out more, I'm looking at it right now. You can go to agirlandagun.org/conference. That's agirlandagun.org/conference. Now TACCON is fantastic. Now, I wasn't trying to take anything away from that experience by any means. But if you're a lady and you're looking to get into some good solid training, not be led down some direction full of glitter and glamour, right? And really, you know, get some truth, right? Get some real training. A Girl and a Gun, their shooting league is fantastic. It really is. They have so many resources out there, so many excellent people who are out there trying to support this organization. It's great. It really is. Just signing up for the website portion of the membership alone, just that alone, mm-hmm. is worth the yearly membership. It's great. There's so many different resources. They have a book club. They meet every couple of weeks in their local chapters. There's all kinds of different crazy stuff that they get involved in.
Yeah, and you know, Apache has a local chapter, you know, around the Yadkinville-ish type area. For the Girl and Gun, you know, regularly get out and do things together. Going back to the conference itself, you know, the something that is really impressive about it is literally for ladies of all skill levels, mm-hmm. right? You're talking from, I don't know anything about handgun.
Never taken a class in my life,
all the way up through, you know, gunslinger, expert type stuff.
Yeah.
And everything in between. So if you're a lady, if you're interested in, you know, shooting sports at all, if you're interested in self-defense, interested in anything that does with, you know, firearm, this is the conference to go to. Just so much good information.
So they have non-fire, what they call non-fire workshops, where, you know, it's very similar to TACCON's lectures and seminars, I should say, not more so than a lecture. But they have different seminars and stuff like that out there. I know Dan Brady last year, and I believe he's doing it again this year. He'll be leading a dry fire workshop where he teaches ladies how to develop their own dry fire program. And that was a really, really well-received class last year, so much that Robin asked him to do it again. We're talking about Robin Sandoval. She's the president of the A Girl and a Gun organization. They also have live fire classes there. Everything that you could imagine. I mean, it's not just self-defense. It's also recreation, competition, that type of thing. I mean, you could roll out there in, you know, in one class, you could be learning how to fight in and around a vehicle with a handgun,
mm-hmm.
or you could be shooting skeet on the side of a mountain with a gorgeous view. Like, there's so many different things that you can get involved in out there, and it's really, really cool.
I want to know what the heli gunner bonus session is,
because
that sounds like
gosh.
You're shooting out of a helicopter, and I'm in.
Dude, we're gonna have to pick this up and make a like a He-Man Woman Haters Club or something like
100%.
That.
100%. Like, that's opposite end of the country at the same time.
Yeah,
like.
I'm telling you, dude, it's ridiculous. So the heli gunner happens before. I think it's like the Monday or Tuesday before that weekend takes place. It's actually a week-long conference, so you have the option to do the leadership portion the days mm-hmm. before, the heli gunner and stuff like that. But essentially what the heli gunner is they put you up in a helicopter with a – I don't know if it's with a rifle, with a minigun, with a gun. And you're shooting targets on the side of a mountain.
Yeah, I'm in.
Mid-flight.
100%.
Like, I didn't even get to do that kind of stuff in the Marine Corps, man. Like, I want to do that. I really want
to
do that.
See, we're going to Texas for TACON. We just need to do that in Texas.
Yes.
Like, we need to figure it out.
Yeah, so we're going to have to figure that out.
I'll get working on that.
For sure. So, yeah, they have that as an opportunity. There's different, if you're involved in the organization and you wanted to learn more about the leadership aspects and stuff like that, you can spend the Tuesday and Wednesday there. And then Thursday, they do like a check-in, which is different than what you have at TACON, where each individual instructor for any live fire session essentially performs these check-in procedures mm-hmm. In the midst of their class at some point in time. But the way a girl in a gun does it is every lady who's participating in a live fire event will show up and they'll have their gear checked. So if we do have that lady who's never taken a class in her life, they want to make sure that the staff is able to help guide them in the right direction.
Yeah.
So it's not an intimidating process or anything like that. It's just to go and make sure that you're squared away
right.
and you don't need anything, right?
Interesting.
And so they just want to make sure that you're good. So they do a gear check, and then they do some range demos. So, like, there'll be all kinds of different sponsors there. Glock will be there. Staccato was there last year. Mossberg was there.
I was just looking on the list here, and there looks like there's a lot of other like Palisade Training Group, USCCA, you know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of other representatives that are out there. You know, Glock Professional, I see them. I mean, there's a lot of really good, companies out there. Axial Protection, John Kreese, he's out there. Eric Gals. I mean, there's a number of people. Filster Holsters.
Yeah.
A number of, just dry fire cards. I mean, there's just a lot of different people that are on here. There are different groups, different companies that are on here that just bring a wealth of information.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. It's crazy, man. That Thursday is just so much fun. That's where if you've been taking this or if you've been going and attending regularly every year, you just get to, reunite with some old friends mm-hmm. and hang out, eat some lunch together, go shoot some guns together, whatever. But, Walther and everybody else, they'll all have a booth set up. So if you want to go check out what Walther's got, mm-hmm. New, and they just want to show you, go shoot their ammo and their guns.
Yeah.
For free and walk away. And if you want to come back and do it again, you can go back and do it again. There's no limit to the round count. You just go have fun. And I'm telling you, man, it is really just such a great time. They do have this welcoming ceremony in the very beginning of the event where, you walk through this giant building and essentially go through this assembly line of here's this, here's mm-hmm. this, and you walk out and you got this bag full of stickers and patches and
all the stuff,
samples and all kinds of t-shirts and dummy rounds and you just name it. Like, there's, you just walk out with all kinds of really cool stuff. It is, man. It's just such a really cool experience. It's one of those things that I look forward to doing every year since the first year we went out there. I mean, the ladies there are so ready to learn, ready and willing to learn. They're so interested and appreciative of you coming out and doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's It is. It is such a great time. So
that's fantastic. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of running around. There's a lot of great conferences. A lot of stuff that's in Dallas, right? We got stuff that's out in Colorado. That raises the question: how are we moving all of these guns and stuff to all these different places?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, traveling with guns is such a it's a choke point for so many people. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, it's not that big of a deal.
No,
it's a non-event. You know, once you've done it once or twice, you kind of get the flow for it. You really start, you know, diving into, like I said, what you can and cannot do, and what you can say and can't say.
Yeah.
Right. I think you know, we'll take a break here in a little bit, but I definitely think that that's something we should dive into maybe next segment. Is you know, like how to travel, how, you know, what can you travel with?
There's a couple of different modes, man. You know, if you think about the last couple of years that we went to TACCON, you know, we drove to Dallas. Mm-hmm. We road tripped,
yep.
You know, and had a blast doing it.
Absolutely.
We road tripped down there. And there's some considerations that you need to be, you know, thinking of when you're traveling through different states. With a gun on your person, with a gun on your vehicle, and that type of thing. Stuff that you need to be aware of and some different considerations there, as well as flying.
Right.
You know, I'm with you. I think people get really wrapped around the axle with the idea of, I was one of them. I hadn't flown till last year. I hadn't flown since I come back from Afghanistan in 2011. Mm-hmm. So I've only been on a plane twice since then, four times technically. Been there and back, right? Anyway, I mean, the point is, it's really not, as you said, it's really not that big of a deal. Yeah. As long as you have a plan laid out in place, it works out just fine.
And that's the thing, like having that plan, laying everything out, making sure that you're squared away. You know, let's dive into it. Let's get into more in the next segment. Let's talk about the nuances of, you know, traveling with firearms and really break it down, because you're right. It depends. It depends on different, you know, modes and everything. Well, you're listening to Responsible Armed Citizen Show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show, where we talk about everything the Responsibly Armed Citizen should know. We're continuing our conversation. We just talked about conferences galore, Tactical Conference, Girl and Gun Conference, which begs the question, how do we travel? How do you travel? How do people travel with firearms and implements that they may use for training in a safe and constructive manner, right? So planes, trains, and automobiles. Let's talk about that, but backwards, all right? So let's start with the automobiles. That's going to be the one that's most common. So there are some considerations to take when you're traveling with a firearm, right? Or traveling with firearms, plural. You shouldn't just, you know, throw your gun on a dash and go about your day.
Right.
There's some considerations there. So let's dive into that a little bit, Tim.
Cool. So as we said before, the last couple of years that we drove down to Dallas and road trip down there and had ourselves a blast. I mean, you know, we have five or six of us rolling down in a little bus,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, you rigged up a TV inside there. We're playing video games and watching Netflix the whole way down.
Yep.
Man, it was such an awesome time. But there's a plan that needs to be made. Like you need to put something in place. You need to choose your route carefully. Choose your route. And you think about your different stops that you're going to take along the way, where you're going to end up and the different places that you're going to end up. And you also have to really pay attention to the laws that you're going to be going into in different states and whether or not your concealed carry permit reciprocates in those states.
Right.
And what their state laws are for transporting firearms through
across state lines. Right.
Yeah. You know, and if you're going to one of these conferences and you want to bring your super secret, you know, night vision goggles and suppressors and stuff like that, you need to be thinking about the ATF's rules and regulations that govern that process as well.
Absolutely.
Having to submit, you have to submit a form for traveling across state lines.
Yep.
And before you actually go.
And you have to do that annually, right?
Right.
So you only have to do one. So for like suppressors and, you know,
right. NFA
items.
Yeah.
Like there's one form you have to fill out and it's good for a year. So mm-hmm. just do it once a year if you have NFA items and you plan on traveling with them.
Right, right. And other than that, like if you're traveling with a handgun or a shot or a long gun or something like that, and it's not an NFA item, you know, for the most part, you're free to travel, you know, across the country with them. But there are a lot of certain restrictions and certain laws that you have to abide by when you go into different states. One state might make you make the gun unloaded, and it should be locked in a case in your trunk or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And ammunition and firearm has to be separate. I mean, especially when you start getting into like more of the Northeast states, you know, the Maryland, D.C., we start getting up into, you know, District of Columbia, we start getting up to New York, things like that. You start running into problems on the West Coast. Right. California is, you know, another big one. Got to be concerned about Illinois. I mean, there's various states where there's nuances in the law, or there's just flat out restrictions in the law that are going to prohibit you from carrying in some of these places, or prohibit you from traveling in the specific way that you may be used to in your own state.
Right.
You know, for us here in North Carolina, we're pretty much free to travel, you know, with our firearms, as many firearms as we want, you know, granted that we're doing so the proper way.
Right.
Right. There's a difference between open carry and concealed carry. I mean, there's requirements that you have to have if you are concealed carrying, as far as having, you know, having the both forms of ID. North Carolina is a shall inform state. So, I mean, there are things that, you know, you must do, but every state's like that.
Right.
So do your research. Make sure that, you know, if you're planning out a trip, if you're planning out driving somewhere, you plan on going across state lines, research each state, or get together with, and again, as a responsible armed citizen, you should have some sort of carry insurance, carry representation, you know, some sort of representation if something happens. You should be able to contact them and say, hey, what are the laws in this particular state? I'm planning on traveling, going there for a trip or something like that. These are states I'm going to be passed through. And they should be able to get back with you and say, this is what you should be concerned here, 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 and here.
Right.
Right. So that's, yeah. And so again, not to gloss over it, but you know, the mode of what you're carrying, right? So are you carrying a firearm for that you're ready to use for self-preservation, self-protection, or is it something that you're going to be using as a training aid once you've gotten to your destination?
Right.
Right. So our thing, there's no reason that you need to have a firearm locked, loaded, ready to go if it's in a case, if it's going to be used for a training demonstration or for training. You know, be responsible, be, you know, smart about, you know, what you're using and why are you using it.
Right.
The, you know, far too often I've seen people in the past that, you know, want to bring everything. They want to bring their entire safe, but there's no point in it. You're just, you're creating a larger and larger target for yourself. Take what you need. Right. If you know, you happen to forget something and you leave something at home, I'm sure that at one of these conferences or something, somebody else has got there and they would be more than glad to let you borrow it.
Right.
For whatever the class is.
Yeah. Traveling via wheels, via a vehicle, is a lot. It is definitely a lot easier to navigate.
Right.
It's going to take you a lot longer to get there, but it's a lot easier to navigate there in the sense that you can bring essentially whatever you want. You know, so don't forget your med gear, like a trauma kit and stuff like that. But you can essentially bring, you know, all the ammo, all the guns, that type of thing, if you wish. And it's, you know, an easier form of transportation, but a little bit different when you decide to get on a plane. Mm-hmm. So, what's
before we get to the before we get to a plane, let's talk about the trains.
Oh yeah, we forgot the trains. Sorry,
met the train. The other wheel, the big wheel.
Yeah, tracks and stuff.
Tracks and stuff. So as far as tracks and stuff, you know, it's very similar to a plane. You know, legally, it's not supposed to be carried on carry on baggage, anything like that. There's going to be checked baggage, so stuff that. You know, gets actually put on the train, and then there is a declaration form that you're supposed to fill out. Now, be careful with that, because I would, even though it has very similar similar procedures as we'll say like an airport or something like that, it's not as restricted as an airport. So there's you know, as far as like metal detectors and as far as you know ways of you know circumventing that, they're absolutely out there. I'm not advocating it, but I'm just saying be aware that you know they're the places that a lot of these trains are going through are unsavory. So do with that knowledge what you will. But So, you know, legally speaking, it cannot be on a carry-on. It has to be, you know, checked baggage of some sort. You have to have some sort of checked bag and go from there. Now, similar to that, be aware of where you're traveling to, because if you're traveling through a state that doesn't allow a particular type of firearm, right, then you potentially could get into some trouble there. Just like if you were to fly, right? Flying with a firearm. So when we start getting into flying, again, there's the whole check baggage, checking in your firearm, declaring that the firearm is empty, unloaded. They'll give you a little, red tag or a tag, the stick, both on the case and on inside with the firearm. Again, or firearms, not a big deal. The firearm must be unloaded, cannot have any kind of ammunition inside of it. It depends on the airline, whether they allow factory ammunition or remanufactured ammo. They it depends from airline to airline. But the same thing with the quantity, right? Quantity of how many firearms and things like that you can take at one go. TSA has guidelines, but the airports have their policies. So you really need to abide by TSA guidelines, but go along with whatever the policy of the particular airport. The one that you should not and do not, skate on, anything like that, is the locking requirement on these firearms for checked baggage. It must be a real lock, like not a TSA approved, let me break it off with, a pencil kind of lock, like a real combination lock, key lock, whatever, like an actual lock that you and only you have the key to.
Right.
If you're checking in the baggage, you and only you can have the key to open that, not your spouse.
Right.
It can only be you. So that has been a catching point for many people. Something else that I'll also warn you of is, if you're flying, and let's say the flight gets diverted for some reason. We'll say I'm flying to Maine. Right? Mm-hmm. Completely legal to go in Maine. For some reason, there's an emergency. They have to land in New York City, in New York. Do not take possession of that checked baggage. Do not take possession of your checked gun, even if it's an overnight thing.
Right.
That's the airport's problem. That's not your problem.
Right.
Right? It may suck that, you're leaving your, checked baggage, your checked in firearm with the airport, but you're going to stay out of jail.
Yeah,
because what's going to happen is if you land, the airport will absolutely let you take possession of your property.
Mm-hmm.
But when you check it back in so that you can get back on a plane to continue traveling to Maine or even go back home, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Yep.
You're going to be in a world of problem. And that's for all the other gun unfriendly states.
Right.
They're exactly the same. Just be aware of that. That has been a gotcha to more people than I'd care to admit. Just because they didn't know. They didn't know the laws.
Sure.
And they've gotten messed up with that.
Yeah, just got to watch your step. Yep. I mean, really, we flew last year to Colorado, and they lost my luggage. Well, they didn't lose it. They left it behind on the flight back from Colorado to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Very frustrating. It really, really ticks me off because now I got to drive all the way back to Yadkinville, hour and some change. With no handgun, no firearm, and then I got to drive all the way back down to Charlotte the next day to go pick up my gun. So, yeah, you do have to deal with some minor inconveniences, and whatnot, which that is what that is. It is a minor inconvenience.
Yep.
That just goes along with, it's just a part of it.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about getting to a location, in a fraction of the amount of time it would take you to drive. Mm-hmm. We drove the year before. It took us 3 days to get there.
That's what it felt like, right?
It took us 3 days. Yep. It took us like how many? Like 5 hours, 5 or 6 hours to fly there.
Right.
So, I mean, suck it up.
Yeah, and something else to consider when you're flying. There's a lot of things that you can get away with in checked baggage that you can't with unchecked. If for some reason, especially with firearms, and this has happened to me a handful of times, if the airport wants to, or TSA wants to check your checked bag, your checked baggage, like your firearm. They want to make, for whatever reason, they want to verify that it's unloaded or something like that. They cannot look at, go inside that box without you present. So right. Even if they ask you for the key, do not give them the key. You and only you can have access to that key. So you just open it up, you let them look at it, do whatever they need to do, make sure that everything, your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted, everything's good to go. And then you shut it up and go about your day. But here's the thing. If on that red little red tag that you fill out on the declaration, if you don't put your phone number or they cannot get a hold of you before your flight, there is a possibility that your checked baggage is not going with you on that flight.
Right.
So make sure that you're accessible. You have a cell phone or something like that. Have some way of, being able to communicate with, if TSA needed to get a hold of you. It's only happened to me like twice ever.
Right.
One of which was on my flight out to Washington State. Non-event, right? They give you a call, you open up the box, they say, yep, that's a gun, and then it's unloaded, and you go about your thing.
Hmm.
Something else to consider, something else to think about, is that there's a lot of other, getting away from, modern handguns, there's a lot of other things that are not permitted, especially when you fly. If you're a black powder kind of guy, there's a lot of restrictions on, even though technically speaking it's not considered a firearm, a lot of black powder guns, you still have that same check-in procedure, that same process, but you can't have any of the propellant, can't have any of the black powder, things like that, because it's considered an explosive.
Right.
Even
dummy guns, blue gun or for our cert pistols and stuff like that, they all have to be checked in just like a regular gun. So it's, interesting process, but it's not as scary as everyone makes it out to be.
No, you do it once, and then after you do it once, you're like, all right, I'm a little less anxious about it. We'll see how it is when I land. Right. And then when you land, you go back to the baggage claim, pick up your gun, go to the bathroom, put your stuff on, and get out of there.
Well, for me, man, I like to drive. I really do. I like to drive to different locations. I don't mind the scenery and stuff. I don't, I feel like I've seen more of other countries than I have in my own. So I like the idea of going out and sightseeing a little bit along the way. I know, like Tom Gibbons, he drives every single one of his unless he's way out west, then he'll fly. But for the most part, he drives everywhere he goes and likes to sightsee and stuff, and that's great. I've never taken a train, though. I really want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to experience that. And
we'll talk about that off air. But
I believe we'll have to try that one out for sure. And then as far as a plane goes, well, we got two flights booked so far this year, one to Colorado and one to Texas. So.
Technically four.
Yeah, technically four. Yes, technically four. Yeah, but that'll be fun. So,
yeah, so getting away from handguns. I mean, that's what or guns. That's what we've really dominated the conversation with. Now, what about that other stuff that you travel with? Blades, right? So blades is something that a lot of people don't think about, and they kind of fall in the same category of do your research, right? Because there are some places, there's some states that will not allow the auto ejecting,
like a
microtex and things like that. Blades over under a certain length, right? There's a lot of little stipulations on those that you can get into a lot of trouble with, talking fines and potential, depending on jurisdiction, felonies. I mean, there's a lot that's involved in that. Do your research. Was it stun guns, tasers, right? They fall under a similar category of, what you can travel with, what you can't. So I think we beat this horse to death, but...
One more thing. Quick tip for the responsibly armed citizen, the person that's doing what they should be doing and carrying some pepper spray with them. Cannot carry pepper spray in a carry-on, just so you know. They will throw that in the trash. So you have to carry it in your checked baggage. It doesn't have to be locked up with your guns or anything like that, but it can be in your checked baggage. What I strongly recommend you do is put it in a Ziploc baggie, one that seals very well because of air pressure. Year before last, we were teaching out in Colorado and we drove out there. We didn't fly, but there's still a change in altitude there, right? And Derek Watkins was my AI out there. And randomly while we're teaching a class, his leg started burning. And what had happened was, I guess that air pressure, the change in altitude or whatever, caused it to leak. And so it leaked all over his pants.
Oh, no.
And his leg was red. Oh. He was just burnt from
fire
from it. So, yeah, if that happens to break inside your checked baggage or bust inside your checked baggage, I would rather it be contained in a Ziploc baggie than to be all over my socks and underwear that I'm going to be.
That'd be such a bad day. Just imagine that, like you know, going, oh man, yeah, my OC spray or whatever, it busted on, and don't think about it, and then go and put your socks on, and you're like jump around with hot feet.
No, man, or your underwear. Oh, that'd be awful. That would be awful.
That would be a special kind of pain. Mm-hmm. Anywho, well, So like I said, flying's not nearly a big deal. There's some really neat stuff that do some research sometime. You know, there's stipulations on what private flights, what you can do with private flights versus commercial flights. And, you know, none of us here, at least between Tim and I, make enough money to where we can fly private. But I've had some people that I've known that have, and I think it's a little different as far as what they can do and how they can fly. So if you're one of the fortunate few that can fly private, do some research. Make sure that what you're doing is legal. Make sure that everything's above board. Again, be that responsibly armed citizen. It goes well beyond, the handling, firearms or training with just firearms, things like that. But it's also, understanding what the laws, understanding that, what you're doing is perfectly legal and beyond reproach. So right. you definitely don't want to get caught in a position where you're doing what you think is right. It ends up it's not right, and now you're losing liberties because of it.
Right.
It's not worth it. It's not worth the risk, not worth chancing. So
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Greg Elifritz on this subject. We haven't talked about him the entire time, but if you don't know who Greg Elifritz is, you're really missing out. He's probably one of the most prolific writers in the firearms training community right now, and he's a wealth of knowledge, excellent guy too.
Fantastic.
But he writes so much, there's an article on his website called The Definitive Guide to Flying with Guns. And really, it is just an excellent, an excellent article that really goes through all of the ins and outs and all the intricacies of flying with a firearm. So the website is activeresponsetraining.net/flying-with-guns. activeresponsetraining.net/flying-with-guns. And or if you just go to activeresponsetraining.net, type in traveling like I did in the search, the site menu, and you'll be good.
Yeah, that was what I say. Just go on Active Response Training, and then and just search it and go from there.
He has a literal library on his website. Like, there's so much information on here. Anything you need, you could pretty well find there.
Yeah, giddy up. Well, so we're coming up on a break now. We're going to go ahead and continue to talk about our home defense strategies, our talk about our Compsy of the month. The Compsy of the month is just something that we like to do every single month. We bring something forward. We have a little conversation and we talk about it, and then we'll go from there. So with that, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. My name is Tim Kelly. With me, I have Frank Horvath, and we have been talking about everything revolving around the Responsibly Armed Citizen. And in the last few segments, we have been discussing traveling with firearms. So we talked about different conferences that we've attended, you know, in different states like Dallas and out in Colorado. And there are other conferences out there that exist. Like I know that there's the Guardian Conference, never been. The NRA has a conference every year. USCCA has a conference every year. There's always some type of expo or something like that going on that is appealing to that's appealing to responsibly armed citizens. So we've been talking about it. Oh yeah, SHOT Show is another really good one. Anyhow, so you got to get there, and you got to get there with a gun. So there are a lot of different considerations that you have to weigh out before you start making that plan to travel via plane, train, or automobile. Right? So that's what we've been discussing in the last few segments. So if you're just now picking up, sorry you missed a great conversation. Now we're moving on to our competency of the month. Our competency of the month is something that we put together. It was originally for an in-house project for us to challenge each other on our level of knowledge and understanding of various topics. And since we started the Rack Show, we essentially wanted to share that with our listeners and with our viewers. So every month we change out the competency. Last month we were talking about dry fire, and this month we're talking about home defense strategies. So what you got, Frank?
Home defense strategies. There's a lot, like I said, like we had talked about, you know, our last show. You know, there's just so much that comes in about home defense strategies. And man, we just had an outpouring. We had a bunch of people that sent us some really great ideas, some really great thoughts. Thank you, everyone who participated. You know, please continue to send us those things in. That's our send in your thoughts at racrack@apachenc.com. That's racrack@apachenc.com. But you know, as far as home defense strategies, you really need to break it down to where you have like different layers, different barriers, almost like an onion of protecting what's important to you, right? So if that is as simple as being able to, you know, keep your doors locked, you know, at any time that you're not actively like going in or out the door, even when you're home, just hanging out, just lock the door. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive, especially for us in the South. You know, we think, oh, you know, just come on in. Doors never locked. I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. Nobody's going to bother you. But if you look at crime statistics, right, broad daylight, right, says otherwise. It's the exact opposite. You know, middle of the day, broad daylight. It's not always the bump of the night. Usually it's, hey, look, there's not a car in the driveway. Let me go see. Oh, look, the door's open. I'm just going to go walk right in. And, oh, look, Mr. Homeowner is here. When, you know, or you know, God forbid, spouse or something like that is here, right? You know, the intruder didn't see any signs of somebody that was being home, so right. They just let themselves in. You know, just little simple things. You know, keeping your doors locked, having some sort of alarm system that is set and you actually use, you know, it is a big piece of that. You know, keeping just, you know, the you know, fancy things out of plain sight, right? So I call it a makeshift car alarm. So if there's something in your vehicle you don't want somebody to see, you just throw a blanket over it, lock the doors, right? Out of sight, out of mind. That's kind of the idea. But, you know, you can do something similar. If you don't want, you know, to invite a bunch of people over to your place to, you know, pick through whatever you just have laying out, then put it up. Right, get it out of sight, out of mind. Get it away from there. But moving beyond that, you know, once you've done an adequate job of, you know, keeping things locked up, once you have a policy and procedure, we'll call it. You have this routine of making sure that you and your family have bought into, you know, keeping doors locked and or having some sort of, you know, automatic mitigants in place. Like at my home, I have a lock that's set up to where if it was open, you know, within 5 minutes timer, it automatically locks itself.
Yeah.
Now sometimes that's a real pain in the butt, especially when you're taking groceries in from the house or something like that. Yeah. You're like, oh, daggone it. You know, it can get frustrating, but it's worth the ease of mind going, did I lock the house? Is the house locked? Well, now you don't have to guess. The answer is yes. Yeah. Right. It's taken care of. You know, same thing with the alarm system. You know, those alarm systems need to be checked at least annually.
Yeah.
You know, have your alarm security professional come out, let them do a once over, just make sure that everything's communicating, talking, everything is working well. And if it is, great.
Amen.
If not, fix it.
Mine gets checked at least annually, but most likely closer to monthly.
Right.
But that's by accident.
Right.
Because I accidentally set it off or something like that, which is perfectly fine because it works, you know, and then I get a phone call and then there's police and all that. I'm like, oh, this, hey, it works.
I've traumatized my kids. Oh my God. They're absolutely traumatized. Like every time the smoke alarm or something like that goes off, they just come screaming through the house. What's going on? They're little kids for you.
Yeah.
But again, and then, you know, there's just so much that you can do in before the gun even comes into equation, mm-hmm. right? Or before that self-defense weapon even comes into equation, right? I have friends of mine now. I have friends of mine who take it as far as they, at night, and once they're in for the night, they bar their doors. They bar mm-hmm. all their exterior entryways coming into the home. They do something very similar for their windows. So they have these policies and these procedures in place, and they're regimented enough to where they're regularly practicing it on the daily. So do with that what you will.
Right.
A security camera is not a security device.
Right.
It is a potentially could be a mitigant, right? But that's all it's doing. All it is doing is recording the crime. It's not necessarily stopping a crime.
Well, I think it can certainly help you after the fact,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
If something takes place or somebody tried to break in the house, it can certainly help you. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of the Ring doorbell or whatever it is yep. that you want, but some type of camera that could catch a criminal. Right.
Yep.
In order to do that, though, before we start talking about cameras, lighting, you need to have good lighting.
Big time.
External lighting. You need good lighting outside of the house. You know, if you can turn all the lights off inside your house and have the outside lit up like daylight, nobody, they can look through that window all they want. They ain't seeing inside.
Right.
As long as the lights are turned off inside, they ain't seeing inside.
Right.
So, and that's what you want. You want to limit their ability to see what you have inside. You want to make your house a hard target.
Right.
One that they'll look at and say, this is going to take too much time. It's going to take too much effort. I ain't going in there.
Yep.
Right. Now, that's not to say that they won't, but it is a deterrent for right. sure. And the cameras, you know, how many videos do you see on YouTube and InstaFace and all of this other stuff? How many videos do you see of them just covering their face in front of a Ring doorbell as they donkey kick the door in?
Right. I mean, there's just so much footage that's out there of, you know, of armed invasion, mm-hmm. of just, you know, invasion of the home, whether they're, you know, there's occupants or not. I mean, it's kind of the gambit. And, you know, the thing about it is, like, you know, criminals don't really care. Like
right.
I said, they're doing exactly that. They're covering their face and they're going on. My biggest gripe with cameras is I think they're a fantastic tool. I have a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have their purpose. But my biggest gripe with cameras is people often get misled and they think, oh, well, all I got to do is get a camera. I don't need to do any of the other stuff. Camera's enough. Camera's going to keep the bad away. And that's not the mm-hmm. case. And that's not, and if I can just help reinforce that mm-hmm. that's not what actually happens. The camera helps, you know, keeping things away, and the camera helps, you know, those recording after the fact helps keep things on track. But aside from that, it's not doing a whole lot on the mitigate side. Now, and a dog, right? Mm-hmm. Some sort of loud animal, right? It does a terrific job as a mitigant, especially if you can get some sort of training or something like that for that animal. That really goes a long way with helping, you know, to act as a deterrent. That's not a catch-all, right? Mm-hmm. There are plenty that just don't care for them, you know, just open up the door and do what they will to them to make the barking stop. But it's not, it's not a bad idea to have something like that to help,
right.
you know, make noise and alert you to, you know, a potential, you know, somebody or something on the property right. that shouldn't be along there.
So I like how you used the Shrek reference earlier about, you know, having layers
right.
of protection. And I think that's great. And one of the things that you really need to think about in terms of this onion is you can't put all of your faith into one single layer.
Right.
it's not going to work out. Locks, people will eventually break those locks
down.
Absolutely. You know, or they'll come through a window,
right?
Or
through the wall if it's a trailer.
Yeah, there's so many different ways they can gain access to your house in a matter of time. So you put these layers of protection in place in order to make the process more difficult. And what I like to think is, at least my theory here is with this, is if I can access my gun in the dead of night when I'm fast asleep and I wake up to a loud bang or a big bump in the night, you know, the notorious bump in the night, mm-hmm. right? I wake up to that. I need to have a minute to 2 minutes to get up, gain access to my gun, wake up, realize what's going on.
Sleep inertia is a real thing.
Yeah. Realize what's going on, comprehend everything, and then initiate my plan.
Right.
The plan that I've put into place in order to, you know, save myself and my family in the event somebody breaks through all of those different layers of protection.
And the plan that you practice.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So, doing something, coming up with a plan and just saying, yep, that's what I'm going to do. And then actually going through the motions of, practicing mm-hmm. that plan in the dead of night. Two completely different things. I mean, you can have this beautiful laid out plan, have the perfect idea of what you're going to do. But unless you actually put it into practice and actually, test out the mechanics of it, you're wasting your time because it's not going to go the way that you think it's going to go.
Right. You know, and then that until you have got those preventative measures put in place, as I said in the very beginning, man, there's no sense in thinking about and arguing what type of gun is best for home defense.
Right.
Like there's no use in arguing whether or not you need a flashlight on that gun.
Right.
There's no use in arguing what kind of ammunition to use in that firearm your individual house. None of that matters.
Right.
Because if you can't gain access to it because you've put preventative measures in place, the gun isn't going to make one bit of difference.
Right.
It's not gonna make a hill of beans, man.
Right. Right.
So
and that's the thing that a lot of people really get hung up on is they're like, oh, this is the perfect gun because it has stopping power. Like frying pans are coming out of the muzzle of it or something like that. And that's all of that is for naught mm-hmm. if you can't do just some basic home security, basic things. Just being aware, right? Grew up in a country, grew up in the middle of nowhere. One of the things that's kind of neat about, certain animals is that, they have certain quirks, right? So everybody thinks about get a dog, they'll tell you all about what's around. Growing up, we had guinea hens,
oh,
right?
Man.
Those guinea hens are fantastic because if there's anything, if there's a dog, if there's a bird that looks out of place, those things will just
mouthy little creatures.
Mouthy creatures, right? And they're the perfect like alert animal. Yeah. Like they just tell you what's going on. They're vocal and it's all night long.
Yeah.
It's 24/7. So they're just absolutely fantastic at alerting. But there's just so many different ways. Figure out something that works for you, put a plan in place, and practice that plan. Only got a little bit left. Tim, what are your final thoughts?
Oh, my final thoughts. Man, it's a good thing we picked this competency for, an entire month's worth of talking, because I feel like I could talk for an entire month on this topic. Like, there's just so much that goes into it, but we don't have that time. So I will say in the next couple of weeks, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We have, let's see here. Looks like Zach's going to be teaching a shotgun control workshop. We're going to be teaching a concealed carry class on March 23rd. That would be, March 23rd, concealed carry. And you can see all that at apachenc.com/events. Shoot us an email if you have any questions about anything. Rack at apachenc.com.
That's right. Rack at apachenc.com.
Thanks guys. Everybody.